This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore humanity. We're all exploring what it means to be human these days and redefining our place in this world and maybe even the universe. With this podcast, you and I will take that journey together. We'll look at how those genres in movies, books, video games, and television explore our human condition, using my experience as a podcaster since 2005 to guide us to the talented artists in front and behind the scenes. And this is the first of two parts. This edition has Seth Gilliam, who is Gabriel or Father Gabriel, Ross Marquand, who is Aaron, and Josh Hamilton, who is Lance Hornsby. Speaking of that said Hornsby, compare him to other Walking Dead villains. Here is Russ Marquand.
I think Hornsby's scary as hell because you know he's kind of like a used car salesman vibe, and you immediately don't trust him, but you're willing to give him a shot. And I think the death that Hornsby offers is a death by a thousand stabs. You know, it's much more calculated. He's a very, very shifty character, and I feel like the villains in the past have been very much on the surface. What you see is what you get. But with Hornsby, you really don't know. And he can be hurting you, you know, in ways that you can't even imagine until it's too late.
Seth Gilliam has his thoughts when comments from Hornsby himself, Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty insidious character. He's kind of like a bit of a disease, you know, kind of. You don't know you have it. You go, you're not feeling so great, and you find that it's spreading and it's overtaking you, and then it kills you from the inside out. I think that's kind of the way that Hornsby works. He works from the inside out, and I think that makes him one of the most dangerous villains that we've had the pleasure to have known.
Guys, I can hear you. I'm right here. I can hear everything you're saying. I don't think Hornsby feels that way about himself. I think he, thinks he's just doing the best he can and, has only good intentions. But I think he is a symptom, you know, he's a very ambitious, you know, he's trying to make a go of it in a capitalist society and, unfortunately, it's not going to work out for everyone, but, I think he feels very strongly and does not think he's a bad guy at all. I think he really is trying to just create the best life for everyone that he can.
Hi, guys. Have you had time to kind of reflect on the journey of your characters, no matter how long they've been from when you first met him on the page to where you are now?
I guess that hasn't really sunk in yet. That's the question. I think we were in such a mad dash to finish the show because it was a 15-month shoot schedule, or 14 months, and then it went over by a month because of COVID delays and any number of things. And we were in such a mad dash to finish that I think we didn't relish the conclusion as much as I wish we had, you know? And now I think looking back, I mean, you know, we'll have time to reminisce and think about where our characters have all gone. But I think each of us, especially Seth's character, I mean, Father Gabriel has gone through so much. He's changed so vastly from where we see him in season 5 to where he is now. And I think it'll be interesting one day, once we're far enough removed from the show, to rewatch it, you know, just watch it from beginning to end. I think that'd be really fun to do.
I haven't reflected much at all. I think I need some time and space and distance to where I don't slide into a depression.
What playing their characters has taught them about themselves.
I think for me, the diplomacy that Aaron has shown from beginning to end, I always, you know, asked Angela, our showrunner, you know, when is this guy going to go darker? When is he going to have that edge to him? Because I couldn't understand why someone would be so nice in the midst of being beaten up by Rick, first of all, and then the Saviors and the Heapsters and all the groups he interacts with, they're not kind to him, and he just keeps choosing diplomacy. And I think if I could choose one thing that has really helped me in my life, it's that diplomacy. I think it's really important, especially nowadays with everything going on in the world. You know,
I feel like I was inspired by Lance's unwillingness to be defeated, or, you know, to give up. I'm someone who, and personally, gets very overwhelmed by very basic everyday things sometimes, and I just go like, I can't handle it. So I guess I learned that I was inspired by Lance in a way to try to, you know, think a step or two ahead and not get overwhelmed by when things don't go his way.
I think for me, I've learned to be a little more courageous with the courage of my convictions, in the way that Father Gabriel, once he steps into his full self, seems to be to me.
Josh Hamilton on his stunt work.
Well, I can't say I prepared too much, but I have to say that it was really enjoyable. I haven't been called upon to do too many stunts in my career. And it was really fun to get to try to be more of an action guy. I remember Greg Nicotero saying like, okay, we want to make you a little more badass in this. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And I was up for the challenge. And actually they always have a stunt guy there if you want it. But I was one of those actors who's like, you know, no, I got it. And then of course, after like a few takes, you're like, oh, why did I say yes? I mean, I didn't have to do much compared to what people on the show have been doing for years, but it was more than I've personally gotten to do. So I really appreciated the chance to throw myself around a little bit.
Hey, thank you for listening to Sci-Fi Talk, but stick around. I have more. Let's get back to Sci-Fi Talk. I'm Tony Tolato. Where were all the actors' mindsets after they wrapped shooting?
I remember when Jeff January, who's our first AD, he called the final moment. He literally said, "Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on The Walking Dead." And these confetti cannons shot out from behind us, and it was just kind of this surreal moment where, like, we're all drenched in fake blood and, you know, sweating like crazy. It's 2:30 in the morning, and all this confetti is raining down all over us. And it was a really weird moment, just because it's so out of character for The Walking Dead. And it was this great, like, sense of relief and release. And then it was this sensation of, it's really over. 8 years of my life, same with Seth. I know Josh about a year and a half. I mean, anybody who's worked on the show for any amount of time knows it's a great show, but it's also a lot of work. So it was this immediate release and then kind of a feeling of loss, you know, that it's all over. So I don't think it's fully sunk in for me yet either. I think it'll really sink in once that finale airs and we're all together and watching it. And that's when it's going to really hit me, I think.
24 hours after I wrapped on the show, I was probably in a karaoke bar singing the blues.
Yeah, there's always the dark night of the soul when something ends, you know, it's you're like, what, all your reasons for getting out of bed and, you know, getting dressed or to go out the window for a little bit, whether it's, you know, a year or 8 years or, but I think for me personally, I just felt mostly a sense of gratitude for having gotten to, you know, sort of get in under the wire in this incredible journey, be a part of it.
Has the absence of Rick Grimes impacted their characters?
Yeah, I mean, I think on one hand, of course, whenever you have someone like, to Seth's point, like there's more time for other people, the more characters to be developed. But also, Andy was such a fantastic leader. I mean, he really led this show so beautifully. And I know that I think I speak for everybody who worked on the show. Like, he's the best number one I've ever worked with. And we missed him like crazy once he left. And it was definitely a noticeable absence once he left the show.
Yes, gentlemen, for each of you and your characters, at the start of this particular segment, what is driving each of you and motivating each of you to literally get out of bed and do the work?
Oh, well, Lance you know, Lance wants to, he wants more responsibility. I think he wants to lead. I think he feels like he's spent most of his life behind the scenes and making things work. And I think he feels like he knows how the Commonwealth runs better than most people, kind of keeps it running. And I think he's ready to step out from behind, you know, the Miltons and, show what he can really do. And I think his reason is, I think he really believes that, you know, he'd be a good leader for the Commonwealth. I mean, for the communities to be under the umbrella of the Commonwealth. Yeah, ambition is a very strong motivator to get out of bed in the morning. Yeah. And also just to, you know, show everyone how good his clothes look.
I think Aaron's just motivated by wanting to protect his daughter and the future generations of Alexandria, Hilltop, any community that he trusts and knows. So I think, yeah, sustainability and preservation of the safety of these communities is the chief goal and the reason why he gets out of bed every morning.
But for Father Gabriel, it's the never ending search for chocolate, pretty much. I mean, they've got like cotton candy at the Commonwealth, but you know, there's no chocolate that kind of gets him out of bed every day and what he's got to go through to get some chocolate.
I want to credit Russ and Seth. We had two great scenes in the second episode, I believe, of this part of the season in the church for Seth and then Aaron with your daughter, but I won't say any more. Great stuff.
Thank you.
The Walking Dead airs its final 8 episodes on AMC and AMC Plus, but the universe will continue. This is Tony Tolato. Thanks for listening.